All right, guys. So like we stated last week, we started to begin to talk about who is God. And again, this is a new series meant to showcase the real God many have tried to redefine. The questions that we're trying to answer are very simple, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, do all paths really lead to God? That's a very famous saying nowadays. Most people are saying, yeah, all paths lead to God. Do all paths lead to New York? No. Do all interstates lead to California? No. So that's kind of like a, you know, that's a misnomer, and it's really a false representation. But it's funny how people only use certain arguments to talk about God, to reference God or religion. So are we all praying to the same person? That's something that Glenn Beck said, and a lot of other people say, yeah, we're all praying to the same guy. If we are praying to the same guy, then why are there so many different versions of the same supposed God, right? The Muslims have a version of Allah, what they call Allah. Christians, we call him Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit. Mormons call him Elohim. Why are there so many different versions of this one individual, right? So, or do most people just have a case of unaccountability and misunderstanding of God's character? And last week we started talking about God's eternality, being infinite, being forevermore, and we got into that. But today I wanted to touch with you guys about a very important topic in the Bible, and it's one that has been spoken about very often. But the way that it's been spoken about very often is in reference to Christians. They, you know, pastors would always tell you, oh, you know, God is love, and you have to be loving, and love your neighbor, and love your enemies, and love, 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 everything is love, right? And then the problem is that nobody seems to be able to define love. Everybody thinks that love is that little feeling you get when you meet that perfect somebody, little fuzzy warm feeling that comes over women, that they start getting hearts over their head. And guys, for us, it's more like, wow, she's a really good looking girl and I want to date her. You know, that's the kind of feeling that we get, you know. That's not the feeling. You know, how many of you guys have heard this? I got a feeling, you know. That's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. As you guys will find out tonight, love is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. It's actually an action. It's actually an action. Some people say, well, Gio, you're crazy. It can't be a verb. It's actually, yes, I know that it's a noun. I understand all of that.
It could be a
wow. I'm not going to get into that. What's a noun? I'm not going to get into that. Anyways, keep it down. Anyways, if you think about it, a verb is what? It's an action, something that you do. But the way that the Bible describes love, and for example, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Bible in its entirety talks about love as an action. See, our culture defines love as something that you feel inside, that warm, fuzzy feeling, like they say, right? But my question is, if you truly love somebody, then why are there so many divorces? Because everybody says, oh, till death do us part. But if love is truly there, then why is the divorce rate in the increase? Why is it that more and more people are choosing not to marry, go through the legal system to get married and just live together? Why can't they, you know, put that commitment together? So that's some questions. But the main purpose of these series, ladies and gentlemen, is to rediscover who God is so that therefore we can imitate him. Because in our culture, like we said last week, remember the clips that we played last week of, for example, Pastor Frank Echevarria from El Rey Jesus, who basically says, oh, if God wants to make you a millionaire, he can, this, that, and the other thing, and Joel Osteen and all the redefinition. And they have basically redefined God to someone that is unrecognizable, okay? And my point in this series is I want you guys to know that you can have a close and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, okay, and get to know him for who he really is, and therefore that his characteristics are therefore implanted in your life, okay? So again, let's go over to the foundations of this series. The purpose of the series is to give each of us a clear and biblical picture of who God is and an understanding of his true nature. Now, understand that Jesus is the clearest and most complete picture we have of God himself. If you read Colossians 1, 12 through 17, Paul tells us there that he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We have a complete picture of who Jesus is, who God is, rather. Okay, so we laid the foundation for that last week. Now, God is what? We spoke last week about him being infinite, eternal, singular, the one and only God. That's what we meant by singular. And knowable, that we can get to know him. We can have a relationship with him. Muslims teach that you can't have a relationship with Allah, that he is impersonal. Yes, that supposedly they know who he is, but not that they know who he is. Again, we were talking last week about, it's like I say, Catherine, I know Catherine, but you can say better about Catherine, I know Catherine. There's a difference because you guys are close friends. I know Catherine and we have a good relationship, but you guys are best friends. Those are two completely different polar opposites. Now, we can talk about somebody else that comes in here and all of a sudden she says, oh, hi, I'm Catherine. Now he knows Catherine, or she knows Catherine, but he or she doesn't know Catherine as much as you know Catherine. See, there's two different, that's not confusing. Pay attention. So what happens is that there's different levels of relationship. That's all I'm saying. And all of a sudden, you can have a deeper relationship with God, okay? Tonight, we're going to talk about how God is love. We're going to talk tonight about how God is love. 1 John chapter 4 is very, John uses very specific wording, and he says, God is love. If you guys notice the language there, he doesn't say that God is full of love, even though he is. That God acts in loving ways. No, he is. He is the personification of love. Okay? That's very interesting language that John uses there. And of course, eventually we'll talk about him being merciful and good, because there's this mentality out there that God is evil and he wants to destroy all human beings who even breathe the wrong way. You know, that's kind of erroneous. A lot of people, believe it or not, beginning with atheists. But let's define love, shall we? Love is a strong affection. This is according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary and some of the dictionaries I found. It didn't really hit the spot for me. What do I mean by that? The definitions are kind of loosey-goosey, but there's some words in there that we can use. Yeah. Loosey-goosey. All right. Strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. So obviously that's talking, for example, like family members. You know, you have a affection for someone because they are part of your family, even though that's not always the case. But, you know, there are a lot of family members that, you know, that, for example, parents that forsake their kids at an early age. We know kids that are disobedient to their parents. The second definition, affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interest. How many of you guys have ever looked up to somebody because of something they have done or accomplishments? Everyone has. I'm pretty sure everyone has. Benevolence is a good word, benevolence being good. Now, devotion, that's one key word that I want you guys to keep focused on, devotion. Being devoted to someone or something. The object of attachment, devotion, or admiration. A beloved person. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. That's probably the most key definition that I would use. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. In other words, love is very difficult to define, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you know God and know his characteristics, you can't define love, as we'll see. The world can't define love. Only Christians can really define love. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. In other words, you don't care first about yourself. You care about others rather than your own well-being. That's difficult in itself because you're thinking about yourself first and then everyone else. But Jesus said that there are two commandments that basically encompass all the law. And what is that? You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, and strength. And you're going to love your neighbor as you do yourself, if not even more. I mean, that's tough. In our own minds, we want to take care of ourselves, and our actions say, no, I want to take care of myself. But it's very difficult to take care of another person, because every time that we start taking care of another person, we think about ourselves first, right? We say, oh, what can they do for me? What has that person done for me? And then I'll think about them. So keep that in mind, okay? Now, bearing these definitions, I want to show you guys, there we go. Characteristics of human love versus God's love. We're going to talk about the features of some. All right. Number one, human love is conditional. Human love is conditional. What do we mean by conditional? Well, I'll give you an example. It only shows affection to those close to us, maybe family members, maybe friends, acquaintances, dependent on whether a person or not shows love first. Have you ever had that happen to you? I know I have. I've loved the person, or I've said I've loved the person because they did a favor for me, and all of a sudden it's like I feel like compelled, like, oh man, now I gotta be their friend, even though you don't want to be their friend, because you're like, dang, I don't want to be their friend. You know, I don't know if that's ever happened to you guys. That's happened to me, where I've gone to, you know, I've seen that a person, I've seen that a person has done me a favor, has done my family a favor, and all of a sudden I'm like, dang, great, now I've got to be their friend. Oh my goodness. So what happens is the following. What happens is the following, is that we always tend to think about the effects of actually, you know, returning that love, instead of thinking about the action in the first place. Think about that. We never tend to think about why the person did what they did in the first place. Yes, I understand there are people that are looking for favors. There are people that like to take advantage of the situation. I know that. But there are people that simply do something out of the goodness of their heart. And then we get all bent out of shape. Oh, man, I got it. But think about it. Why would they do something like that in the first place? Love. It's an action. So human love is conditional. It's conditioned. The conditions are based on, you know, what have you done for me lately? Oh, and another thing. I don't know if you guys, this has ever happened to you guys. How many of you guys have had close friends for a long time, but since they did that one thing to you, they slipped on one thing, all of a sudden, you're no longer their friends. Because of that one thing. Now, I don't understand why we're so quick to throw away relationships like that. And that's something that we'll cover eventually. Relationships are not disposable. Keep that in mind. Now, remember, the main topic is who is God? Well, and why he is love. See, we're talking about characteristics of human love. Human love. This is what we humans define as love, or the culture defines as love. Okay, human love is usually associated by some sort of feeling or emotion, like we were speaking about. You know, it's, oh man, it's that warm, fuzzy feeling that I get inside when I meet the partner of my dreams. And then what happens 2 weeks later, you break up with that person because you find out that they got a nasty past. And then you have that feeling again when you meet someone else. And you have that feeling again when you meet someone else. And finally you say, oh, this is the real person. And then they dump you and something happens. You know, it's a whole story. You know, when I met my wife, I had that feeling. But it was funny because as I got to know my wife, that love intensified. And it's funny. Oh, wow. Wow. I think I just phoned myself some points. All right. But you know what, guys? I'm going to tell you guys something. I want you to keep in mind that love is not an emotion and a feeling. And I'll give you the definition in just a couple of minutes. Because if you think about it, my wife and I have been married now. We're going on 7 years in February. Okay? The month of love. Also the month of my birthday. Remember to bring me presents? 27th. All right. Here's the thing. So? All right. So keep this in mind. There's something that's important about love that basically keeps people together, keeps people attached. And we'll get into that in just a second. So it's not an emotion or a feeling. Now, third point. Human love is usually associated in many occasions with sexual desires. We always think of, you know, how do I put this in a very holy way? That feeling that overtakes us when we see someone of the opposite sex and we say, wow, that is awesome. And I'm not even going to get deeper into that because you guys can use your imagination. That's part of love within the context of marriage. That's part of love within the context of marriage. We can get into that. It's a whole other subject. Why? Because the Bible tells us that when a married couple get together for intercourse, that in essence, they become one. They become one again. So that we'll get into that in another topic. All right. Human love lacks truthfulness. What do I mean by truthfulness? Well, I'll give you an example. Friends versus acquaintances. A true friend will tell you to your face if you've done something wrong or you are lacking or deficient in some sort of, characteristic or trait. An acquaintance won't tell you that. An acquaintance will tell you, you're fine. You might be a little pushy, but you're fine. You might lie like 10 times a day, but you're fine. You're cool, man. Come and smoke out with me. Let's go have sex. We're fine. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, if you most of you guys don't have what you call friends at school. What you guys have are acquaintances. But yet you consider these people more important a lot of times than your family members. Think about it. A lot of times you guys consider these people at school and the people that you talk to regularly on the phone more important than your family members. And that's wrong. But again, A lot of times, human love lacks truthfulness. They will never tell you the truth because they don't want to offend you. Look, I'd rather be offended and someone tell me the truth that's good for me, and I know I have a true friend, than someone that, yeah, exactly, that they're just, no, I don't be fake. I don't want to be fake. I'm sorry.
That's what they are.
They are fake. Exactly. But then a lot of you guys keep choosing to hang around with them. So, all right. We'll keep moving on. All right. Now, human love doesn't have the crucial elements of compassion, mercy, or understanding. We went back to the example we were talking about. How many of you guys have had friends that have done something to you? You guys and you guys throw them away. It doesn't have compassion, mercy, or understanding. A lot of times you don't know. Sometimes we throw away friends because they might have said something in the heat of the moment that they were so irate that they said something. And instead of saying, you know what, just let it pass. No, I'm just, you know, just let it pass and let it slide and, you know, we'll keep going. No, it's that one incident. And we automatically throw relationships away. When God created us, one of the main reasons God created us is so that we can have relationships. Okay? Very easy to throw away. Yes. Well, there are people, look, I'm not saying that there are people that, look, there are people that are not good friends. But it doesn't mean that you should stop reaching out to them. I put it this way. Like I said, there's a difference between people that you know, every now, like an everyday kind of thing. But there are people that you know more intimately. And I try to distinguish both. I try to keep, you know, distinguish both. But I'm saying that there are people that, in other words, you have more of a deeper relationship with them because you connect with them more than others. Okay? All right. Keeping that in mind. Human love easily breaks relationships because of immaturity or misunderstandings. It also searches for sinful and temporal things and thinks about self first and not God or neighbors. Neighbors, I mean just, you know, the fellow human race. We're always thinking about ourselves. And let me tell you something, guys. Pride is such a dirty and evil thing because we think about ourselves. We always think about ourselves first instead of our neighbors, instead of our family members, instead of everyone else. How can this benefit me first and then benefit everyone else? How can it benefit moi and then moi? You know? We always think in those terms instead of thinking, how can this benefit others? I'm in a very privileged position. When I am, you know, as I am the youth leader of every single one of you. Why? Because think about it. This has taught me, this ministry has taught me very much to start thinking about others instead of myself. And each and every one of you guys, I worry about your spiritual life and I worry about your relationship with God. You guys need to start learning how to do the same for your fellow man, for the person that you have on your left and your right. Don't come here thinking, oh, I'm going to receive. Everything's about me. Everything's about me. Me, 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 me. Come thinking about Jesus. Come thinking about how you can serve your fellow man. In the article that we wrote this week in ATA, Absolute Truth, Absolutely, I spoke to you guys about how Jesus says, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. It is a form of evangelism. If people see that you have good works that goes along with your salvation, they will automatically start seeing that God is in your life. Testimony. Huh? It's a testimony, a living testimony, exactly. A lot of us say, yeah, we can preach with our words. Yes, but there's another way to preach the gospel is by living your life. Live the Christian lifestyle the way that God intends you to live the life. Don't be like the world. That's why I tell you guys on a week in and week out basis, don't imitate the world. Don't listen to that music. Don't watch the TV shows. Get away from that because that's the kind of stuff that digs you in and brings you in and teaches you stuff about the world that is not good. We already know what's out there. None of you need to know what's out there. We know what's out there. You don't need to experience it. That's why I tell you guys, you have to set yourself apart for God. Okay? Now, last but not least, the love can wax cold because of iniquity. Matthew 24:12, Jesus says that in the end times, the love of many shall wax cold. Wax cold. Haters of parents, haters of their fellow human being, killers, haters of God, because iniquity has abounded so much that now you see, how many of you guys have ever, you know, been in the car with your parents and they do the favor of allowing a person to, you know, walk on the sidewalk where they need to make a right and the person doesn't even say thank you. Think about it. Every day. I go through it every day. And there are people that when you go shopping and they you know, you buy something from that store, they've got an attitude about it. And it's funny because you complain about, hey, look, this person treated me the wrong way, and even the manager of the store says, he didn't do anything wrong. What? You know, you see stuff like that and you wonder, and the stuff that you hear in the news, mothers leaving their babies in garbage dumps, parents killing their children, children killing their parents, everything that Jesus said will come to fruition has come to fruition. Why? Because the love of many has waxed cold. It's waxed cold. Ladies and gentlemen, love is an important element of life. Love is an important element of life. Let me finish this section right here of characteristics of human love by showing you guys how the world defines love. I'm going to show you guys a clip of John Lennon. How many of you guys have heard of the love song from John Lennon? Love. All you need is love. Okay. Pay attention very closely to the lyrics. Pay very close attention to the lyrics. And we'll get into that in just a second. Okay, I want you guys to keep in mind, the lyrics are so profound. Love is real, love is a feeling, love is wanting to be loved. John tried to redefine love and he couldn't do it. Besides, here's the thing I can't understand. To this day, I still don't understand, and Beatles fans can't seem to answer this. If John loved Yoko so much, why was he a womanizer? Not a lot of people know that. Oh yeah, he was a womanizer. If he loved Yoko Ono so much, like he wrote down in the sand, then why did he cheat on his wife? Tiger Woods says he loved his wife and he still loves her. Why did he go around with these women basically doing the stuff that he did? That's not love. See, this is what the world thinks about love. This is why I wanted to show you guys this clip, because a lot of people love the Beatles and they think, oh, you know, they wrote for all of society, and this is what they think about love. It's not love. That's not love. So let's look at what love truly is. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. In other words, he doesn't love you because of something that you can do for him or something that you've done or you deserve. God loves you simply because he is love. That's amazing, isn't it? That someone would love you even though you don't deserve to be loved. That's God's love. God's love is unconditional. In the movie Fireproof, there's such a great line. He says, oh, you know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's trying to talk to the dad. He says, I've loved her, this, that, and anything. He says, you can't truly love her, your wife. And he says, why? Because you don't know God's love. Only can a person truly love if you know God's love. Why? Because it's unconditional. I want someone to go to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 35, and Romans 5, 8. Actually, just go to Romans 5, 8. I'll explain Luke 6. Romans 5, 8. Romans 5:8. Go ahead, read it, Catherine, please. Listen to that. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about this for a second. We are his enemies. We are God's sworn enemies. And yet he loves us enough to send Jesus Christ to die for us. That's unconditional love. We didn't give God anything for him to love us. Do I have your attention? He didn't give us any. We don't give God anything in order for him to give us our love, give us his love. We don't deserve it. And he still gives it to us freely as a gift. It's unconditional. God's love is unconditional compared to human love, which is conditional. That's a huge difference. Those are polar opposites, okay? God's love is showcased in sending Jesus to die for us. Like we just read, Romans 5:8 and John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Anyone else want to fill it in? Within him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Everlasting, eternal life, same thing. Think about this for a second. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. In John 15, verse 13, there's also a very interesting phrase there. And it says the following. It says, no one hath greater love than this. There will be one to lay down his life for his friends. It's an action. You guys start seeing that this is an action. God sends Jesus to die for us. It's an action. God showed his love for us because he sends Jesus to die for us. There is no greater love than this, that someone were to lay down his life for his friends. It's an action. That's what I want you guys to see. Love is, it's not a feeling. It's an action. It's something that you do. And God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. That's what Paul says in Romans 5:8. Amazing. We are his enemies and God sends Jesus to die for us. Being his enemies, would you die for an enemy? No. Don't say that because that's too tough of a question. I wouldn't answer that. Think about this. Would you die for... Think about this for a second. Meditate on this. Would you die for a friend? Would you die for an enemy? It's easier to die for an enemy than dying for a friend. You know, a lot of times you wouldn't even die for a friend.
Why not for a friend? But you want an enemy,
yes. It's easier to die for a friend. It's easier to die for a friend because you love that person. But it's not easy to die for an enemy. I said the other way. What did I say? I'm sorry. Thank you. It's easier to die for a friend than it is for an enemy. Keep that in mind. God's love is implanted in us by the Holy Spirit. God's love is implanted in us by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says the following. Even though love... And you can read about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody pretty much knows that. But Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says the following. Because the love of God has been shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. So automatically when you come to Jesus, God gives you this love, gives you of him, of his nature. Because God is love. So automatically when you come to Christ, since the Holy Spirit has been implanted in you and he is a seal over you, now you have God's love within you. You say, Gio, but that's kind of tough because I have a very hard, difficult time showing my love to people. Something you have to work on. Something you have to go to God and ask him to start implanting more of that in you. But it's already there. The resource is there. But you need to start acting upon it. See, God is not, ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to understand that God doesn't make robots. He doesn't program you. It's like, once you have the Holy Spirit, I love everybody. He doesn't do that. But once God gives you the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the person who has come to convince the world of sin, you have that in you, and now you have to go to God so that he can amplify that in your life. Because you have free will. But you yourself have to be able to open yourself up to that love that God gives you. You have to understand it. That's what we're trying to understand, God's nature, so that we can implant it in our own lives. So we see that it is unconditional. God's love is showcased. It's showcased. It's an action. And it is implanted in us by the Holy Spirit. We see those key points. Now, it is pure and undefiled. What does pure mean? It is free from garbage. It is free from things that can damage it, damaging things. God's love is pure. It doesn't think about sexual stuff. It doesn't think about, did you do something for me because I did something for you? No. I'll do something for you. No. It's pure. He is love. It's an action. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, God's love was manifested first and tells us to love others because he loved us first. He loved us first, even though we were sinners. Someone go to 1 John, please, chapter 4. Please read that. It's an amazing passage. 1 John 4, 15 through 21. 1 John. 1 John 4, 15 through 21. Please read that. Go ahead, Juan. Think about it. Thank you, Juan. If you love God, God is in you and you are in God. And you love your brother. But it goes even deeper. When I wanted to go back to it, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 35. You don't have to read it now. Read it at home. Jesus says to love your neighbors and to love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you, that despise you, that persecute you. And if you guys read that passage very carefully, it also says, that's where it says, you know, if someone slaps you in the cheek, turn it. If someone were to steal your robe, also give them the tunic, so on and so forth. That's not people, you know, a lot of secular people like to say, oh, you know, you're a Christian. I can slap you all the times I want because Jesus says I can slap you. That passage is not talking about self-defense. It's talking about doing it. Why? Because an enemy, if he mistreats you, you're not going to do the same to him. You're not going to do the same to him. You're not going to stoop down to his level. I'm not talking about self-defense. If your life is in danger, you better bring out the whooping stick, if you know what I mean. But we're talking about something that if someone offends you, if someone does something to you that can emotionally hurt you, all of a sudden you turn the other cheek and they say, whoa, what is this? What is this? What kind of love is this? I need to know that love. As you show someone that there's something greater inside of you, God's love. And it was manifested first. God manifests his love for us first. And we have to love others because God loved us first. Okay? Now, in conclusion, God's love is also directed at his enemies, like we just said, and tells us to love our enemies. That's hard. I don't know about you guys, but loving my enemy is hard. That's the hardest thing you can do. But Jesus did it. Jesus still does it. It's funny because in that very same passage, in Luke chapter 6, 27 through 35, it says that God is kind even to the evil of the most evil person. The Bible tells us that God makes sure that the sun shines and rains on good and evil alike. So God's love is equal. You're starting to see how God's love is perfect. It's pure. It's undefiled. It's not human love that's based on conditions. It's unconditional. It's an action. See how these things are where we act upon these things? You know, I love you. It stays short of just saying words. It's about doing. If someone does something wrong to you, you turn the other cheek and you say, hey, Jesus loves you. And if someone hasn't done you favors, do them the favor first and go the extra mile. And make it unconditional love. Don't give something, ladies and gentlemen, expecting something in return. We always give expecting something in return. Give to someone that can't give you that back. Learn to do that. Learn to give to someone that can't give you that back. That's the only way you'll learn about God's love. Okay? Now, God's love doesn't stop because of disobedience or because we fail. Why is that, Gio? 1 John 1:9. If we go to him and we ask him forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That's what John tells us. He is faithful and just to forgive us. If we sin, he still loves us. Okay? 2 Timothy says that even though we were to fall short, he still doesn't deny us. He can't deny himself. Amazing. It's merciful and full of grace. God's love is all about commitment. That's the word I wanted to share with you guys. When you guys think about love, if you guys don't remember anything else tonight, remember this. God's love is all about commitment. That's the key word of love. It's an action. It's commitment. That's why marriages that are brought before God or under God last an eternity, because it's about commitment. It's about saying, I'm going to stick it out with you no matter what. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Unconditionally, I'm going to stay with you. Why? Because God's love is like that. I'm going to stick it out with you no matter what. God loves you so much that it doesn't matter how many times you fall, how many times you've sinned, how many times you've done things against him and against others, he still loves you. Marriage is a showcase of that. It doesn't matter what you go through, what turbulence might come in a marriage, you stick it out and you fight it out until death do us part. You see how God's love is perfect? It can't be perverted. It can't be perverted. It's amazing. It loves everyone. God is love. That's part of God's nature. God is love. And last but not least, God's love is about correction and tells the truth all of the time. God tells us in Revelation, Jesus tells us in 3:19, Revelation 3:19, that he chastises those that he loves. A parent who does not chastise the child doesn't truly love their child or is afraid. Why? Because you don't want that child to become a thief, a robber, a liar, a murderer. You make sure you apply the rod of punishment so that that child... Huh?
So when mom's screaming at me and telling me all...
Well, if you were to stop disobeying, yes. If you stop agitating your parents... When your parents, guys, chastise you, it is because they love you and they don't want to see you go down the wrong path. You guys see it as, oh, my parents are getting in my grill. You know, they're trucking my space, you know. Guys, your parents genuinely love you. And the reason that they tell you don't do this and they punish you when you do something that's wrong is because they love you. They don't want to see you. They don't want to see you fall into the snare of the devil. When I tell you guys, cut this out. Stop doing this. Do this. It's because I love you guys, because I want you guys to make sure that you guys have a relationship with God. Why did I call the last 2 weeks for that? Remember the electronic sabbatical, you know, the whole thing? Because I wanted you guys to see that the world does something to, you know, to trap you in. This week's article, read it. I sent it to every single one of you on ATA, Absolute Truth Absolutely. That's the name of the e-magazine. I spoke about how the world sends you a message everywhere you go. Commercials, billboards, radio, TV, movies. Everything is a message. But yet the messages are always corrupt. Think about it. Now what's the biggest selling point for any product? It's sex. Sex is everywhere. Something that was meant to be holy and within matrimony, all of a sudden it's been taken out of that context and defiled, made perverted. And now most people are like, oh, I have to have that to be fulfilled. No. Think about this for a second. God's love is perfect. And it's not dependent on conditions. It's perfect. But now that you know that God is love, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to apply this in your life? How are you going to apply this? Are you going to start loving your enemies and going the extra mile for them? Are you going to start doing for others what they can't do for you? Think about this. I want to show you guys a clip to finish from a movie called I Am Sam. How many of you guys saw that film? I Am Sam. Most of you saw it. Now, I want you guys to see it first. I want you guys to see it first and listen to the words that Sam uses in the court scene. Okay? Pay attention.
What makes you think you can raise a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old? That means, you know what that means, Mr. Dawson? That means she'll be 6 years more advanced than you. What makes you think you can do that? What makes you think you can do that? What makes you think you can do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I have had a lot of time, see, to think about what it is that makes somebody a good parent. And it's about a constancy. And it's about patience, and it's about listening, and it's about pretending to listen even when you can't listen anymore. And it's about love, like she said.
Think about this for a second. He said three words that are so important. It's about constancy, patience, and listening. Those are all principles that we can apply in our life. Even though, you know, this is a secular movie, I understand that. But the principle is still godly, if you think about it. Constancy. God's love is consistent. It's unwavering. We have to apply that in our lives. God's love is patient. We have to learn how to be patient with others. We have to learn how to listen. We're so quick to talk instead of learning to listen. Ladies and gentlemen, you start applying the simple facts in your life, and God will begin to use you in ways that you could never imagine. And He will implant His love more in you, and you will see that God will manifest His love to you more than ever before. And you will begin to understand it. But God's love, you have to get to know God's love. That's what I'm telling you. Take these verses home, read them over, meditate on these things. Tomorrow when you get up, start thinking about these things and say, you know what? I have to be more like Jesus. That's why we're taking this series on, talking about who is God. Tonight we found out that God is love. But now what do you do with that? You have to apply it to your own life. Take that and start loving people that you've never loved before. Do things. Make it an action. Start loving God first than you ever have before, more than you ever have before. Dedicate more time to God. Devote more of your time to God. Dedicate more of your time to getting to know Jesus. Then love the people that are around you even more. And last but not least, take God's love and apply it to those that can't give you back that love, specifically your enemies. If you have enemies, learn to love them. Like I said, God's love is patient. God's love is unwavering. In other words, He loves you regardless. We have to adopt that love, okay? Let's all bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer. Father God, I thank You for this day. And I thank You for everything that You've given us, Lord. I thank You for Your presence in this place. And I thank You for giving us the opportunity to come here and learn more about You. Father God, we know that You are love. We know that You have sent Jesus to die for us on that cross. And I ask You, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, of our trespasses, Lord, tonight. And forgive us, Lord, for not loving the way that You have shown us to love. I ask You, Father God, that You would allow us to use You as the ultimate example of love, because You are love. And I ask You, Father God, that You would keep implanting more and more of that love within our hearts, and that we were to put this into practice starting tonight, and that we may be more like Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, because we were wretched, we were sinners, we were Your enemies, and still being Your enemies, You died for us on that cross. I thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus to die for us. And now that we have come to You, we are now Your friends. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.